Okay, we'll now convene the November 13, 2012 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings to order. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of October 9, 2012, have approved them, and have now executed the same. Are there any announcements I need to be aware of before we start this morning's proceedings?
None that I'm aware of, Mr. President.
All right, well, all those representatives who will be testifying for the City of Daytona Beach, please step forward and be sworn. And with that, we'll proceed directly to our agenda. First case is a lien review, 201 North Wild Olive Avenue, 201 North Wild Olive Land Trust. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Could you state your name, please?
Candy Jaworski.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony
you're
about to
provide is the
truth, the whole
truth,
and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm here to just plead my case that I just don't have the funds available for the liens. I was able to get all my repairs done. I know it took me longer than Daniel would have liked me to, but it was just strictly a cash flow situation. I, over the past year, it's a duplex, and I had lost tenants. Either they stopped paying me, one left in the middle of the night, whatever. And as they moved out, I had interior repairs to do, new carpet, paint, fixing things, ceiling fans, whatever. So I did the work, took the money that I had, and made the inside look good so that I could rent them, and then was getting ready to address the outside, and it seemed like I kept, as fast as I could get one thing fixed, I got a new code violation. I kept in touch with Daniel. I told him what my situation was, and then as I got the inside fixed up, got the inside rented, then I addressed my outside things. Totally unrelated to the code violations, we also had a freak windstorm, and I had part of my roof blew off of my balcony. The repair bill that I got was slightly less than my deductible. Anyway, it was just seemed like I couldn't catch up. So I got caught up this summer. The building, unfortunately, has a first and a second, small second mortgage. So when it's all rented, it just about breaks even. So I have to go sell something as a realtor to put into the building to sell the repairs. So this summer, I got my property taxes caught up. I was 2 years behind on that. My mortgage payments are current, and was able to get all my code violations done inside. And well, the inside didn't have any code violations. Inside is repaired. The only thing I have left to do that's nothing to do with code violations is found out this summer that the building has termites, so now I have to have it tinted too.
Okay. Let's say the city.
Morning, Mr. McKelja. The city's willing to reduce the fine to $500, payable within 30 days. If not, the fine will revert back to its original amount.
What was the nature of the violation? It was dilapidated handrails, and I guess other exterior matters that had to be repaired?
The roof thing was one that sat for a long time, because about the time the roof was $1,500 and I had several quotes. About the time that happened was, that happened in September, and I think it was November when my downstairs tenant moved out in the middle of the night owing me December and November rents. And then it took me until, between getting the repairs done, it took me until spring to get it rented again. And like I said, when the building is entirely rented, I'm sorry, it's just been a financial struggle. When the building is entirely rented, it pays for the two mortgages, the water bill, the lawn, keeps my occupational license current, pays the bill. So when it's not rented, then I'm, you know, further in the hole. And then the repairs are above and beyond that.
Who ultimately did this work for you, the dilapidated handrails, the walkways, the exterior wall?
Some of it was just painting, so I had a handyman do that. The railings were done by a company called Alligator Metals. The roofing was done by...
This is all work you had to hire third persons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm unfortunately not in a position to do that stuff.
I'm going to reduce the fine to some $250 payable within 30 days.
Thank you.
Okay. If it's not paid within 30 days, it reverts back to the existing $2,500. And if you come up close to that 30-day deadline and there's something hanging in the wind that's going to generate the funds necessary for you, if you'll contact our attorney, he's usually pretty welcoming when it comes to working with you. But it's within 30 days, so please don't lose sight of that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Good luck to you. All right, case number 2. Barry and Penny Compton, 437-439 South Seagrave.
Mr. McKelger, for the record, case number 2 and 3, we'd like to combine them.
Sure. My name is Barry Compton. I do.
Okay. Case number 2 is a $250 per day fine. And that tells me somebody had to be pretty aggravated. Imposed September 18, 2007 for failure to secure. Property secured 11/29/07. Rendering $14,250. $200 per day, imposed October 3, 2007 for non-compliance, compliance November 1. Then maxed out at $15,000. Case number 3, no permit for fence, fine of $100 per day, imposed 4/6/2010, compliance 6 months later, lien maxed out at $10,000. What can I do for you?
Well, I was the original owner that had bought the property years ago. I had sold it to a lady out of Illinois, I believe. I don't know how it got this bad, but I couldn't afford the foreclosure process. Chase had started the foreclosure process. I had sold it on a contract for deed to a lady by the name of Hutchinson. I finally got her to agree to sign it back over to me a couple months ago. Just got the paperwork done a couple months ago. The city had actually condemned the front house, and once they slapped a sticker on the house on the front, the vagrants came in, they stripped it. I think you're quite aware of that. Stripped the wiring out of it, stripped the ACs out of it. That didn't make us too happy, but... Anyway, we're asking for a reduction in the fines or actually an elimination of the fines because we weren't even involved. However, I am the owner now. She signed it back over to me without a foreclosure. I've already applied for a permit for the front house to repair it. Excuse me. I have taken care of the request for a survey and a permit on the fence that she put up also. Took care of that. We came in compliance with that also. There was a lot of chipped and peeling paint. We've already begun to repaint the property. We've brought that in compliance. We still have some windows to trim, but all that will be finaled out on the completion of the renovation on the front house.
And given the nature of the case and the lack thereof of the city following up for approximately 2 years. Again, the property owner just stated that he had a contract for deed with the sale of the house that wouldn't have been recorded with the Volusia County property appraiser, so ultimately he still would have been responsible for the code violations, and notices were sent out. The city's willing to reduce the fine to accept 10% of the $30,000 and payable within 30 days, if not reverts back to the original amount.
City's proposing this fine be reduced to the sum of $3,000. To be perfectly honest, he's being a lot more generous than I'm feeling. What say you?
Well,
if we can resolve this amicably, we'll do it. Otherwise,
I understand the home is in foreclosure. I'm trying to save it. I'm unable to rent the front property. It's totally, I mean, it's a mess. Even the building
that abandoned a long time ago, wasn't it?
I'm not sure exactly when she had it abandoned. You might have that record.
You get a 2007 notice of violation. Yeah. It says description of violation, abandoned building.
Yeah, I'm not sure when it was abandoned. My daughter actually lives in the back unit now. She's going to Daytona State. We've put new flooring in that, painted it, fixed it up for her, just to try to keep the vagrants out. And I mean, it was a mess. I was ashamed of it when I pulled up. I understand it's a sore spot in the city's eyes, and I'm trying to bring, even in the building department, says, I don't know why you want to save this house. I'm trying to do the honorable thing, but we have very little work, and it's tough. I mean, if you can reduce the fines even lower, I would appreciate it. Maybe even give us some more time to pay it, maybe half and half. I don't know.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm not inclined to go beneath what the city's proposing at all. Now, time is another matter. Typically, we give folks 30 days to come up with the money. I don't know that I've ever had anybody...
I mean, the house is only worth...
People have asked for additional time. All right, the gentleman's asking for additional time. Are you inclined to give him any additional time?
The house is worth about 40. I've got a first mortgage on it, about 25. I mean, it's... I've got to put probably 10 grand into the front, and I don't have that.
We're willing to go as far as 90 days, but after 90 days, it'll revert back to the original fine if it's not paid.
I'm going to go ahead, and we're talking both of these fines?
Yes.
Wow, Christmas has come early for you. It may not feel like it.
And listen, it's going foreclosure if we can't get it arranged.
Okay, I understand.
We're going to let it go.
Anyway, both of these fines then will be reduced to the sum of $3,000 payable within 90 days. And if that sum isn't paid within the 90 days, then the fines will remain as they are at present. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
That took care of lien review 2 and 3. Next case, O'Neill Family W&H LP and John Birch.
Good morning. Good morning. John Birch. I do.
Thank you.
John, I have the paper here. I'll give it to you. I haven't even opened it from the. This is from the architect. So.
Okay. I think according to the minutes I was reading, we were supposed to have a permit by now.
Yes, sir.
And where do we stand on that?
Architect's been paid, and he gave me a letter to give to you. I haven't even opened it. I'm waiting on him to do.
Spencer stated the city's position is that the permit should have been obtained already, and that's something about, but I guess, willing to wait till the next cutoff for the permit. So do we have a permit? From Ron Roberts to John Spencer. Mr. Birch has not brought in anything I had asked for. Here are my review comments. The entire roof system appears to be beyond repair. More than 50% of the floor system appears to be beyond repair. You set the sign and sealed architectural and structural plan showing all interior items.
Anyone know when you deal with an architect, it was a lot of items that they wanted. So he's think he has everything, but whatever's in that letter, I mean, I'm doing what I need to do. And I paid him. Mr. O'Neill had paid him, so.
What are J-calcs?
Energy.
That's definitely dealing with the building department.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that answer, what J-Calcs are.
But he did submit, I mean, he gave me about seven pages here with all the way it was, the energy. He gave me everything but the energy, the way the building's going back. So it's been a nightmare for me, too, dealing with the architect. But he's been I don't know.
Okay, what am I opening here?
That's from the architect. I haven't even read it. I don't know. I want to call Truth.
Not an architect. To whom it may concern, the construction documents are incomplete at this time due to illness. The construction documents will be signed and sealed in 2 weeks. Thank you. David A. Heat. Strictly CAD. Is that a name?
That's the name of his.
Oh, Strictly CAD. It's CAD. In the business.
Yeah, I got his business card. I didn't know. I should have went with the brother. But I
Strictly CAD and architectural firm?
Yes, sir. If you want to call him.
I
have his card.
Sounds like a draft service.
Well, you go through a. If you don't want to spare about $3,000, a draftman is tied in with the. Well, the lawyer, no, he didn't.
Contract drafting service, okay? I don't think Mr. Heath is an architect. Okay. There you go. I'll give that back to you. You want to hang on to that?
Mm-hmm. That's how you get plans, Your Honor. The draftman draws up. He works up under the architect.
Have you seen this memo from the city's?
Yeah, he has.
What is Mr. Roberts' position?
He has.
Good morning, Mr. Fikoza. My name is John Stinson, code inspector. Employed with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG031241, City of Daytona Beach versus D.O. Neal Family, WNHLP, and John Birch. It's the city's position at this point that there have been no permits issued as required. As you can tell by the photos, this property is it gets worse every day. This is new. This plumbing work, I have no idea what that's all about. It's unprepared. Like I said, there have been no permits issued for this property. As you can see from the letter from the building inspector, Ron Roberts, he is of the opinion that this is just beyond permitting at this time. you can see this picture of this dumpster. It's a quarter way full, yet there is outside storage of junk and debris all over the property. I'm constantly getting complaints from the neighbors. I'm surprised the next door neighbor isn't here today because he was quite adamant about being here to voice his opinion about the neighbor. We now have a makeshift flagpole that's strapped to a tree. It's progressively getting worse on a daily basis. The city is asking for $250 a day until compliance is met. And in the interim of obtaining permits, all of the outside storage of junk and debris, to include the unregistered boat and everything out front, the entire property needs to be cleaned up.
Okay, is Mr. Roberts here?
No, he is not. I requested for him or the new building official to be here. They had prior engagements, which is why Mr. Roberts provided that email.
Mr. Roberts is a residential plans examiner. What does that mean?
All the home plans that come through, he examines all the plans. He also performs inspections out in the field.
Is Mr. Roberts an engineer?
I don't have the answer to that question.
He has an engineering background.
Again, same answer. He is one of the building inspectors, though.
And on the plumbing, you know, can I address three things? I'm trying to be, I don't understand why it's got to be. On the plumbing, the city came out and located that for me because we was just, all I done is dug out, getting ready, anticipating when the ball is dropped, I'm ready to roll. I'm not putting no plumbing in. That is connecting into the city sewer. So I want to get the yard done first. And I don't know why she's talking about the yard itself. Yes, we all know that we was given a permit for this property. The construction debris is the same stuff that we brought over that the city knew about. But I don't even want to get into it because I'm trying to just, I just wish that we can meet, you know, neutrally. They know they said he was going to give me a permit. I met with all of the higher officials. That's why the lower officials haven't met. So I don't know why we haven't just, I've given him my number, and I've done everything he asked me to do. If he want me to tag the boat, I'll tag the boat. But as of the debris, it's no more in the front than the tree I cut down at the backyard. It's put in the front. And the other debris, I'm not putting no more in that dumpster. I agree. I've let the city charge me to pick up the debris because it looked like the city needs the money. So instead of paying the dumpster people, I said I might as well pay the city. So I don't know what he's talking about getting more worse. It seemed like it's getting better. But the main thing, if he have a problem, why he don't just call me? I'm just waiting on a permit.
Okay, I don't really know that it's a matter of communication, Mr. Birch. This saga is getting ready to rapidly draw to a close, and I almost wish Mr. Roberts were here. But I'm going to assume for the sake of argument that Mr. Roberts is an educated gentleman. He may have some engineering background. Whatever his qualifications are, he is the city's residential plans examiner. So I assume he's something more than a layman. Then when it comes to, and I'm not talking about you now, I'm talking about me. I'm assuming he's something more than a layman. And when he looks at that, such as a layman as I would look at, he sees what actually is going to be involved in essentially reconstructing that. That's not, this isn't rehabbing, it's not remodeling. It's a destroyed structure that you're trying to salvage. And we've worked with you, we've given you time, but notwithstanding all your efforts, and you have made a valiant effort, and I've cautioned you, every step along the way, be careful about what you spend because you may not want to be throwing money down a hole here. All that having been said, Mr. Roberts writes, the entire roof system appears to be on repair. Now, I'm assuming this is a qualified individual with some engineering background who's rendering that opinion. Were he here, I'd be cross-examining him, and I'd probably find out even more than what he's written here. More than 50% of the floor system appears to be beyond repair. We're going to need two sets of signed and sealed architectural and structural plans. That means you hiring an architect to prepare the architectural plans. That means probably an engineer, in addition to the architect, for the structural plans.
That's what we're doing.
Showing all interior items such as walls, plumbing, meaning there's not enough there to even constitute a footprint. You're basically starting from scratch inside some walls. And how a new roof system and floor system will be installed. Provide two sets of signed and sealed truss engineering if new trusses are to be installed. It goes on. An engineering evaluation and analysis that establishes the structural adequacy of the altered structure shall be prepared by a registered architect or engineer and submitted to the code official. And where more than 30% of the total floor and roof areas of the building or structure have been proposed or to be involved in a structural alteration within a 12-month period, the evaluation analysis shall demonstrate that the altered building or structure complies with the Florida Building Code for wind loading.
We have that.
Hang on a second. I've been as patient and respectful of your rights and your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably bent over backwards, probably much to the city's chagrin, for the sake of giving you an opportunity to basically pull a rabbit out of this hat. But I think we're very rapidly coming to the conclusion. Your document that you have there from Strictly CAD is not an architect. It's not an architecture firm. It's a drafting service. The card that you handed me says contract drafting service.
Sure. And
I'm as much trying to help you out here as I am trying to resolve something for the city and those and those neighbors. Because, well, in any event, all that having been said, I'm of the opinion that this house cannot be repaired. I'm inclined to accept Mr. Roberts' analysis regarding the status of the property and that there are no prospects for rehabbing it.
I don't see how you could say that, Your Honor.
I'm prepared to accept his opinion that the structure exceeds all the applicable guidelines regarding rehabilitation of properties. And all that having been said, the way we left it at the last meeting was you were supposed to be here with permit in hand, and that hasn't happened.
I've done what I've done. I mean, I submitted every. I haven't tried. I've done. I've paid that guy.
You tried to put as much sweat equity into this thing as you possibly could to make it happen, and I appreciate your efforts and I admire your efforts. But as we told you from day one, you best be careful because this thing might be unsalvageable.
It is salvageable, Your Honor.
I am now with this in hand, and in the absence of your permits. At the conclusion that this is unsalvageable, it's time to draw an end to this saga because now there are neighbors out there who are saying this isn't just
where is the neighbors, Your Honor?
Arrogance when it comes to trying to rehab something that he's got no business trying to rehab. This is our neighborhood, and we're not getting any response from the city of Daytona Beach for what is an obvious eyesore and hazard.
Where's the neighbors, Your Honor? The neighbors are not here, Your Honor.
Right here.
I mean, it's
you're
no.
Right here.
I have.
You're right here. I'm here watching out for their interests. While I'm also watching out for yours. I'm done watching out for your interests now. Now it's time for me to start being a little respectful as to theirs. You don't have a permit. These people say it can't be done, and I'm sorry. It's time for me to show some backbone, put my foot down, and do what I probably should have done two or three meetings ago. But you prevailed upon me to give you some time, to give you a chance. I did. You tried. This. Okay. What's the amount of the fine the city's requesting?
City is requesting $150 a day.
All right. Commencing when?
Commencing today.
All right. Based on the testimony presented, based on the report by Mr. Roberts, based on the fact that our respondent does not have his permit in hand, as promised at our October meeting, I am now going to fine the respondent the sum of $150 per day, commencing immediately, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000, whichever occurs first. All right. I've now done what I'm supposed to do. If you want to continue in your efforts to make some magic happen, by all means do so. I'm going to caution you one more time, as I have religiously, though. All I can do is... This is just man to man. I'd be careful where I spent my money because, to be honest with you, that looks like a lost cause. But
yes,
you're welcome to try.
And I'll be able to come back before the lien review, right? And you will be very affable, whatever that big word I'm trying to say, a small word, because I'm sure I'm putting forth the effort and I'm going to do it.
Well, I'm just trying to say that a man of your resolve might use his efforts better elsewhere. But you pick and choose. You can pick and choose whatever fights you want.
That's my fight, Your Honor.
All right.
What now?
Am I done here?
Just want Mr. Burch to be aware that the complaints from the neighbors is not only the side of the property, but also all that debris that's in the front. And we need him to clean that up immediately.
Well, hold it.
What's in the front but the trees?
Clean that up immediately.
The trees right there and the debris
right there. That's not construction debris.
No.
That's the tree that's in the back of the yard that I cut down. And everybody know he can go over here today and see that all of that stuff is coming out the house.
I'm so callous, but I've just imposed a fine.
Okay.
And I don't want to be generating any instructions or recommendations from up here that's going to lead anybody to believe that that fine is going to be withdrawn, vacated, or reduced on the basis of some piecemeal efforts here. So, the fine's been made. You can talk to him about whatever needs to be done. And, of course, I assume you'll be in touch with them to try to figure out what your prospects are moving forward.
Okay.
And I guess what you're being told here is the first thing they're interested in seeing happen is stuff being cleaned up. But I'm here to tell you, that fine contemplated a lot more than outside debris. So just keep that in mind. You've got a and upset. Okay, good luck to you. Case number two, ARC or ARC of Daytona LLC. Is anyone here for the respondent?
Come on, it can't be done today, not
you. We might have to have this conversation a little later. All right, Mr. Stenson, Park of Daytona, LLC. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Good morning, Mr. Skelzer. My name is John Stenson, code enforcement inspector employed with the city. My qualifications are on file. This is case number SMG101266, ARC of Daytona, LLC. Property address is 769 Alabama Street, Daytona Beach. Parcel ID is 523-8380032-60. Violations were the dumpster enclosure, outside storage of junk and debris, junk vehicle, roof, dilapidated roof, and exterior surfaces. As of this date, the outside storage of junk and debris has been removed. The dumpster enclosure has been completed. However, it was not permitted. The exterior door has been replaced. It's not an exterior door. It's has been done without permits. So that violation, that door right there is the one I'm talking about. It's been changed. There's now a black door. There's a new photograph of it up there. That's the only thing that's been removed, that trash can with the debris that's been out. The door that's been put in place is not an exterior door. There were no permits applied for, and the roof is in the same condition. The white van is still there, still inoperable, still has an invalid tag on there, so the junk vehicle violation still exists. So ultimately, all violations still exist. The city's asking for the imposition of a fine of $75 per day until the violations are corrected or until the fine maxes out at $15,000.
What's the cap on this one?
15.
Okay. All right. I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of, what was the amount you proposed?
$75 per day.
$75 per day until such time as the property is in compliance or the fine reaches the amount of $15,000, whichever occurs first. That's effective November 7, 2012. All right, new cases. Harborside Sunsets Condominium Association Incorporated. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Please state your name and be sworn.
Sahai Marquez. S A J A Y. M A R Q U E Z.
Raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Mr. Marquez, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, what's it going to take to come into compliance?
I'm going to review some of these just to kind of give you an idea of kind of what happened and then give you staff recommendations. 926 initial inspection was done by myself. Numerous smoke alarms throughout the – this is an apartment complex that is 2 and 3 stories in height with 40 units on the property. Many of the units on the property, approximately 75% of them had about smoke detectors that were missing or either missing, were either battery operated when they were supposed to be hardwired or no detectors at all. So there was a combination of those different aspects of smoke detectors. Also, no occupational license at the time. The emergency had 3 emergency lights, which are roughly about 40 to 50% of the property. They had 1 exit light not working. And then a lightweight truss sign required by state law was missing, and the fire alarm system. Currently, as you'll see probably by some of these, that was the second time, was currently at that time in trouble and in alarm. the fire alarm had not been inspected within the last year. Also, all the sounders in the rooms, which are the notification to the occupants, in the rooms were painted. Some of them appeared to not work upon a further examination by a contractor, which I'll show you here in a few minutes. Some of them did not work. There wasn't a sign on the fire alarm control panel room. There was a breaker. You have to have a little breaker on the breaker panel where the breaker is for the fire alarm control panel so nobody can just shut it off. Fast forward to 11-5, a reinspection was performed that day. At that time, you'll probably see coming up, Denzel, if you could switch over to the fire alarm control panel where there's nothing on it. On this date, at some point over the weekend, 11-5 was a Monday. Keep going. Right there. Just pause it there if you could, Denzel. Thank you. Sometime over the weekend, the alarms had been going off consistently at that property. Somebody at that time had shut the entire breaker panel that it feeds this to shut it off. So at this time, there was no fire alarm protection inside or out for any of the people on the property. At that time, per my codes, that anytime a property or a fire alarm system is not in compliance or is not working within or is going to be out of service for more than 4 hours, they have to initiate a fire watch. At that point, I had been speaking with this gentleman a couple times. At that point, I spoke to him, and one of the owners called me back, and a fire watch was initiated and still in place as we speak today. Basically, those individuals go around and make sure that in the event something is going, a fire has occurred, they make a phone call to 911 and start trying to get people out. On 11-9, they hired a contractor, which was WSA Systems, to do an inspection to see what the deficiencies were, what the problems were with the system, and try to correct what they could. I do have their report here. I'm not sure if you have it or not. They found in that report that numerous issues occurred. Many 41 sounders needed to be replaced. Some of them were just painted. Some of them didn't work. They didn't have access to 24 rooms. They were able to fix four of them at that time. Other issues dealt with the batteries that actually powered the system, which are backup batteries, were not working. And then, as you saw in that one picture, the heat detector, which is over the fire alarm control panel, had been taken down or was hanging by the wires. So that occurred. And then this morning, in my email, I received a new log regarding some more work that was done yesterday. There are still a few sounders that are not corrected because the alarm company, for whatever reason, have not fixed those. They will come back and fix those as soon as I think they get some more in. So we still have some of those issues, along with we also had a room that had an ADA or a hearing impaired person in and did not have the appropriate stuff in as far as the appropriate devices in the unit itself. That has since been corrected based on this paperwork. So staff believes, or staff recommends, based on the smoke detectors and the rest of the what's going on with the fire alarm control panel, that this can be completed in 3 days, but we're recommending or we're going to ask for a 5-day and request a hearing on next Tuesday on the 20th to impose a fine to the maximum amount per day if it's still in non-compliance.
So you're looking to give the respondent 5 days to come into compliance, failing that, a hearing on the 20th to consider imposition of a fine.
Yes, sir. I have these two reports here. Would you like to see these two reports from the licensed contractor?
Have you seen these reports?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. All right. What say the respondent? I'm being told you, obviously, this is pretty urgent, and the city's proposing 5 days to come into compliance. What say you?
Everything should be ready before the 5 days.
Okay. All right. Good enough. Then I will allow the respondent 5 days to come into compliance, failing that, be returned to the city or to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And if the property is not in compliance within those 5 days. How quickly can you convene a meeting?
I checked the calendar for Tuesday, and the chambers is open. I just didn't know what your schedule was.
I'll make it work. Okay, and if the response is not in compliance within 5 days, then we will reconvene here next Tuesday. You know what time?
Yes, sir. I was going to.
Okay, we'll figure that out. Anyway.
Talk with your assistant today, and we can coordinate it and make sure that they're noticed.
All right, you're obviously on a tight rope here, so make sure you stay in touch with the inspector, and the second everything's ready
Everything is done. The only thing that we're missing is just a few horns in the units that were painted, and the company is not going to receive them until Friday or Thursday. Once they get that, they're going to go install them, and that's it. But everything is working.
Right. Well, you're on a tight leash here, so if anything... If there's any wrinkle in the timeline here, let the inspector know right away. And, of course, we're looking to get this done. But at the same time, if there are matters beyond your control, we'll take that into consideration as well. But we're looking to get it done. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
One clarification, Ms. Bukelja. We're on for, are we for complete compliance for in the 5 day period, or just?
Yes.
Fire?
Complete compliance.
Okay, well.
I didn't see anything on here that wasn't fire-related.
Okay.
See, it's lightweight truss sign. I didn't know what that meant.
I did see they have that. It just was not installed yet. So that is on property. It just needs to be installed, and they've been instructed where to install it.
Very good. Okay, good luck.
Clarification for the count as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it 5 days, first day starting tomorrow, or first day starting today?
I was just... stating today is what I was under the assumption.
I need to make sure I get the count right.
What is today?
Okay.
The
13th.
So we're talking 18th
compliance date?
Okay.
I believe he's, just for clarification, asking for calendar days.
Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot to, yes, I am asking for calendar days, so the 5 days would go into the weekend reinspection on Monday.
Okay.
See you on Tuesday.
Ready for that?
Got it?
Yes. I got to get a hold of the company.
Okay, that means you got to be in compliance by the 18th. All right, good luck to you. Case number 4, Kathy E. Smith.
Where are we? Okay, case number 4.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you state your name, please?
My name is Kathy Smith.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Smith, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how long should it take for Ms. Smith to be able to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
All right, Ms. Smith, for your information, the next cutoff is December 5. You think you can have this work done by December 5th?
What do I have to have done? Because on the letter that you sent me out, you're saying the windows had to be done, and you say it had to be painted, and you said the steps had to be done. What I did was I left and went out of town for my uncle's funeral, and I came back. My two grandsons and their friends had them build the steps for me. I came down to try to get license, rental license, which I did that, but I didn't never got them because I got stuck in Sacramento. So I had to use the money to get back home. So when I got back down here, they had them build the steps there. So I know that was on the letter saying the steps need to be fixed, the paint need to be done, and the windows need to be done because they was broke. But that window, what it is just sitting in there. The windows in now, but that's just not. It just the glass is in there. Keep for any kids to come by for getting cut. So just only thing is that now to be fixed is that front door. It closed and shit. I have a key and lock and stuff for it. But the front porch just need to be painted. But like I said, I don't have no money right now. I don't get disability no more. You know, I'm just living by whatever my daughter gives me to help me with my bills. But with the paint, I might better go get paint for somewhere. Do I have to paint the whole house?
From the looks of this, you could probably take care of that with a pressure washer.
Pressure washer. I have one.
However, those new steps that were installed, they were done without a permit.
Yeah, the time I got back, there was done. My grandson, they're taking up things in school, some kind of architecture in school, and they
look nice.
Yes, sir. And he do pretty good in work, but like I told him when I got it, I said, now you done got me in trouble. He's 15 to 16 years old, and a friend. You know, now I couldn't take him down by myself. You know, they play football and stuff, so.
Well, the inspector is suggesting that maybe you don't need as much paint as you do just some pressure washing.
Yes, sir.
And I'll let you talk to them about the paperwork around the steps.
Okay.
So, in any event. All right, well, let's try to have it done by December 5th, and then we'll go from there.
All right, thank you.
Okay, hang on a second. It's going to sound worse. It's going to sound bad, so.
All right.
Here we go. All right, we're going to allow the respondent until December 5, 2012 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now that I've said all that, okay, get in touch with the inspector and find out what you need to do in the way with regard to getting the stairs squared away.
Okay.
And then, like he suggested, the pressure washing may be most of your paint issues. But in any event, talk to him and we'll try to walk you through.
Yes, sir.
Right, thank
you. Have
you.
A nice day.
All right, you too. Case number 5, Karen Ann Fisher Barrett. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Karen A. Fisher Barrett. 1057 Berkshire?
No. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Fergelzer. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector employed with the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG111271, Karen A. Fisher Barrett versus the City of Daytona Beach. The property address is 1057 Berkshire. Violations that we're discussing are outside storage of junk and debris, dilapidated broken windows, dilapidated exterior doors, missing doors, dilapidated fencing, dilapidated roof, meaning the fascia boards. All the violations still exist. They have secured the property. They've closed the gate and put a padlock on it. Outside of that, all the violations still exist. The only action on the property is that it's been secured.
Well, based on our inspector's report, I find the property to be in non-compliance. How much time should reasonably be required for the respondent to come into compliance?
By the next cutoff.
I will order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2012. Will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 6, Halifax Habitat for Humanity Incorporated.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector employed with the city. My qualifications are on file. This is case number SMG111272, City of Daytona Beach v. Halifax Habitat for Humanity, Inc. The registered agent is Lori M. Jaluni, the executive director. Property address is 735 Flanders Avenue. The violations are quite lengthy. The short version is that I utilized a housing inspection long form, and ultimately this property is to be demolished. I have been in verbal contact with the director of Habitat for Humanity. She seems to have, well, the details to this property being demolished seems to have been overlooked. Therefore,
our inspector's report, I find the property to be in non-compliance. How much time to come to bring it into compliance?
By the next cutoff.
I'll order the respondent to be in compliance by December 5, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 7, Jack Morris, Jr. Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Good morning. This is case number SMG111273. City of Daytona Beach versus Jack Morris Jr. Property address is 708 Kingston Avenue. Parcel ID is 533859020030. Violations are outside storage of junk and debris, junk vehicle, dilapidated roof, and peeling paint. As you can tell by the photographs, there has been very little change in the property. The city's asking property be brought in compliance by the next cutoff. And all the violations still exist. Some of the outside storage has been removed. Some.
Based on our inspector's report, I'm going to order the respondent come into compliance by December 5, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day there. Case number 8, C.K. and Lana E. Fletcher.
Christopher K. Fletcher. Yes, I do.
Mr. Fletcher, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how much time should it take for the respondent to
come? Good morning, Mr. Calder. This is case number SMG111274CK and Lane E. Fletcher versus City of Daytona Beach. The property address is 146 Lee Street. The violations were dirty pool, screens, plumbing fixtures, no power, insufficient power, electrical system hazard, no smoke detector, and no occupational license. As of yesterday, my property inspection, the pool has been cleaned and it is being maintained at this time. Unfortunately, that is as far as I've gotten. I've not been allowed access on the inside of the property, and I really couldn't tell if it's actually occupied or not. City's asking that the property be brought in compliance by the next cutoff.
The cutoff being December 5th.
Yes, sir.
Let's say, Mr. Fletcher.
It's had power, electricity, and water, which I will have proof of for the last month or so, 2 months. I've not been allowed back on the property due to a fact that, as I have proof here of where the guy that was living there before, Judge Henderson and the Daytona Beach Police told me not to go back. Someone has went back and put some of their possessions back in the house 3 times. I have finally carried them away. They have been sending me letters threatening to sue me.
I've got proof of all this. I mean, you know. Okay. I've got pictures of the house in May. This is how well I maintain my house. I moved out so that I could allow someone to live there for free who was working for me, who stole about $20,000 from me, who used this house as a doghouse due to Judge Henderson's allowing them to stay in my house. Literally.
So in other words, you got a tenant
problem. Literally, they lived in that house for six, their dogs lived in the house for 6 weeks. And I wasn't even renting it. I was allowing them to stay there. He did say, I'll pay you $200 a week, which never did happen. There are no smoke detectors. I never had smoke detectors. I never rented the house. I do have proof of my water bill. I do have proof of my light bill. There should be no electrical issues in the house. There should be no plumbing issues in the house. As of the beginning of this month, I did go in there and start painting because I just said, I have had it, whatever happens, happens if I get in trouble. Not with you guys, but with this attorney from North Carolina, which I threw away his paperwork, but that's neither here nor there. As far as I know, there should be no issues with electrical, there should be no issues with plumbing.
Do you have back possession of the house at this
moment? I have back possession of this house at this moment.
Is there any orders in effect allowing some tenant possession?
No, sir. I filed the eviction, then they sued me. Well, They sent me papers saying they were suing me and they wanted all their possessions back. I stopped everything I was doing.
All right. So the point is you do now have unfettered access to the house.
Yes.
So when we start asking you to do stuff within a time certain, you've got access.
I mean, literally, to the best of my knowledge, someone should be able to walk in that house now and not find anything other than if it's smoke detectors.
Call for an inspection. All right. Okay. Well, then it sounds as though you say if you have possession, sounds like you may have things under control now. All right. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by December 5, 2012, or be returned to special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. Get everything together. Call for an inspection. And as soon as a notice of compliance is thrown into the file, that's the end of it.
Anything in particular that I should be looking for? I mean, okay.
Very good. Good luck to you.
Have a nice day.
Case number 9, Raymond Barrett and Jamie Gay. Yes, if you would please state your name, please.
Jamie Gay Barrett. Yes, I do.
Okay. Ms. Barrett, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
No, sir. I obtained a permit.
Okay. All right. The respondent is charged with no permit for yard sales. The respondent's telling me she had a permit.
Yes, sir.
All right. Are we going to need a full-blown hearing, or are we going to resolve this?
I hope we're going to resolve it, sir. Here's my permit.
She has a permit now.
Seconds or less.
Well, were you the first gentleman to my house on the day?
Probably not. Probably not.
That gentleman at that time gave me I believe to be a citation, excuse me, and at the time my husband was leaving the driveway, I admit I was setting up without the permit. So I paid the extra $5. That's why I think it was a citation. I paid $10 instead of $5. And then a second gentleman came, a white gentleman, and I brought him out my permit to show him that I was in compliance. Actually, that's who I thought was taking me to court, or to the front of the magistrate. I'm sorry. Okay, that's the violation. Yes, because I did throw the violation away. So I paid an extra $5 for this. And then I didn't know. It does say a reinspection date was 9/24, which would have been a Monday. And I thought at that time, I don't know what you have to say, but that the items were still on my lawn, maybe? I don't know. Was it you? I don't know who was saying what.
I think you're good, so let's stop talking.
Okay.
Just in case you stumble or stray into the area,
okay.
Maybe we shouldn't be stumbling or straying.
I'm sorry. I was just going to explain what
that's
the
okay.
Notice
I'm not,
yes.
I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to keep you from sticking your foot
this in. This is for you. This is yours.
Okay. So it sounds as though the respondent is in compliance.
That's correct. Mr. Fugelda, the city would like to ask for a will fine on this property, though, which means if they do it again, ultimately we will fine them. There have been complaints of multiple yard sales, garage sales, sales on the property without the actual permit. Just to let you know, you're only allowed 3 yard sales per year.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I know that, but I spoke as well to Mr. Hector Garcia, and I have 2 addresses at my property. I've had that since I acquired the property through my grandfather in 1994, actually. I was there in 93, but I officially bought the property in 94, and there's always been 2 addresses. It used to be always a half in Madison Avenue, if you're aware, I don't know, probably. Then they changed it and didn't want the half anymore, so they issued me a full second address, in which I did. I see we approximately took the same picture. I did because one of the Daytona inspectors told me when they issued me that on my gate I had to have the second address shown and on the back building as well, the second address. And I did explain, saying that I could have 6. I don't, but I could. And I also took initiative to go around to my neighbors, because I've gotten along with my neighbors, prominently black neighborhood, but I love it. Like I said, I acquired it from my grandfather. I fixed it up. I have 8 beautiful grandchildren who play there, raised 3 beautiful, productive daughters in this neighborhood. I have no issues. So I got 10 signatures and statements from my neighbors saying they have no problem. So I don't know what the other...
Well, I'm intrigued by the 2 addresses. So does that mean the 2 addresses allow her up to 6 yard sales?
2 addresses would equal 6 yard sales.
Just a little clarification. I think we just discussed that here. If it was like some situations where you have two facing 2 streets and you have 2 addresses on a single structure or a single unit, then that's one thing. I think in her circumstance, what was being explained is that there's multiple structures on there.
Yes.
That are being utilized, and so with that being the case, that's probably a reasonable interpretation that you would have 3 per living unit.
Mm-hmm. But I also said I was getting older, and garage sales are a lot of work, and I told Mr. Garcia, forget it. It's going to cause this much trouble. I won't have it.
Since it sounds like you have up to 6 yard sales, I'm not bothering with the old fine, and I'm afraid that if I even thought about it, you probably have some research there that you dropped down my throat.
No.
So I'm just going to leave it alone. Okay. So as far as this violation, no permit for yard sales, what am I doing with that? Just considering
we're
in compliance?
Correct. We're in compliance.
All right. Finding that the respondent is in compliance and leaving it as that. Okay, well, good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
All right.
Case number 10, Renee L. Forbes and Bessie B. Forbes, JTRS. 141 Point Oakwoods Drive.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed with the City. My qualifications are on file. This is case number SMG111276, Renee L. Forbes and Bessie B. Forbes, JTRS, versus City of Daytona Beach. Property address is 141 Point Oakwoods Drive. The violations on this property are going to be an unsecure and unmaintained pool. As of yesterday, both violations still exist. This property is in non-compliance. They should be in compliance by the next cutoff.
Where is 141.2?
It's in the Indigo subdivision off of Williamson.
All right, well, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. How much time to commit to compliance?
By the next cutoff.
Okay, I will order the respondent to, by the next cutoff. Unmaintained, unsecure, pool enclosure.
The securing of the pool could be achieved quite easily by locking the screens.
By locking the what?
By locking the 2 screen doors on both sides of the pool.
Okay, so it's secured, but it's open in the sense that you can walk through the...
Correct.
You can open and close doors.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I will order respondent to come to compliance by December 5, 2012, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay. All right, that concludes our agenda. The exception of any miscellaneous business. Do y'all have any miscellaneous business you want to discuss?
No.
All right. Well, if that's the case, left is number 7, adjourned.